Hi, my name is Michelle Bissette. Welcome to Redeemer. Today's episode is Quiet and Hidden.
Hello and welcome to a special season of Redeemer. I'm your host, Javier Plume, and with me as always is my good friend, Adam Novotny. Adam, how are you?
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good. This is weird. You. We're recording during the afternoon instead of in the evening.
In the evening, yes. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. And I have to say, we have not had an unofficial sponsor in quite a long time, and I'm really disappointed. Why does this become that way?
Listen, say the word right now. What do you want to drink? I mean, I'll go pour you something.
I'm just like, surprised that we haven't, like, it hasn't been a thing.
I think it's, well, it partly... It's been the timing, and then this, now we're in Advent, and I'll confess I'm trying to, like, I'm making a conscious effort to make Advent of a special season, much the same way as Lent.
Okay.
And one of the things I decided I would cut back on was meat and alcohol.
Okay.
In order to really get my heart excited about Christmas, to make Advent a time very similar to Lent in terms of sacrifice. So didn't think I'd be talking about it, but since it's like, I should probably explain why do I not have a drink? Because normally we would have a drink.
Yeah.
But you happen to catch us here on Advent, and so
that's fine.
There you go.
Is there an unofficial vegetable of the
Yeah, no, we will not be supporting those poor green bean growers. Do not get a shout out okay. here as the same way that Jameson whiskey would.
No, but, that's right.
But I digress.
That's okay.
All right.
And also we have Holly Novotny. Holly, how are you?
I'm delighted to be here, Javier. Thank you for giving up part of your afternoon. So we're delighted to have our good friend, fellow Marian servant, graduate of the Senecal School of Spiritual Direction, and a wonderful friend, Michelle Bissette, is here with us to have a conversation today.
So, because?
Well, because she has a beautiful heart and I think has a lot to share in terms of her faith and her own story about how the Lord has been at work. I think one of the goals, especially during this season on St. Joseph, was to help our listeners to understand what it looks like to have a friendship with the saints. And if you noticed, while I was introducing her or saying her name, her last name being Bissette, she actually married into the Bissette family that is of some relation to St. Andre Bissette, who is was a great champion, and I think continues to be a great champion of St. Joseph in the world. So we had hoped to have her be an expert, but I think she's more an expert on what it looks like to have a relationship with the Lord and to know what it is like to be pursued by the saints. So
welcome.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you.
As always.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Big applause there for
Michelle
and Andre Bissette.
That's right. So where do we want to start the conversation? I really liked what you were saying about how one of the goals of the season of our Redeemer special season, our season two, was about showing people what it's like to have a relationship with the saints. And I think each of our guests has brought something to that, right? So I really like that. So do we want to start there, or did you guys have a different idea of where you wanted to start?
I think that that's a good place to start because...
We're assuming that you have a unique perspective to share with us, Michelle, because, you know, marrying into a family that has a saint... And then has a name. I mean, there's an association there. And the neat part is for us is that Andre Bissette, yes, had this great devotion to St. Joseph. And here we are in the year of St. Joseph, closing the year of St. Joseph. So today is for us is December 5th, right? Today's the 5th?
Yes.
Right.
I'll say that with more authority. It's December 5th. The year is closing. The year of St. Joseph is closing here on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So for the past year now, we've been in this year of St. Joseph declared by Pope Francis. And what better way to end than talking about a saint who had this incredible devotion to Saint Joseph, who built an oratory, this basilica in Montreal in honor of Saint Joseph, and then to get to have a family member who has obviously, yes, we realize you married into it, but still nonetheless, you now carry the Bessette name. Like, what a cool way to end the year of Saint Joseph, or end our series on the podcast talking about that, talking about a great proponent of Saint Joseph. Lofty, I hope that doesn't sound like pressure to you as I set that up, but you come with a unique perspective that we were just wanted you to be able to share.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yes. And my perspective will be very practical, in my relationships with the saints and, how they lead me toward Christ. So,
well, the floor is yours. I guess, so no, all kidding aside. So first of all, were you aware, like when you married into the Bessette name, were you aware?
No.
So you didn't know it had any cachet with it.
And there is a devout portion of the family that I did not have a lot of close contact with initially. And when the canonization was coming around in 2011, this portion of the family, you know, got tickets and went to Rome. And I got curious, like, what is going on here? Started looking a little bit into him. And the more I kind of thought about it and prayed about it, I was, you know, this is probably not from the Lord, but it was very much like, this is their family, that they're the Bessettes, you married in. So there was a little hesitation on claiming him as a family member for myself. So
it was their thing.
It right? was the beginnings of this. There was some hesitation there. So, yeah. So I can continue or you can ask me another question.
You got over, no, you got to finish how you got over that.
Right. Okay. And I had a bit of a remote relationship with Saint Joseph too. I was closer to the Blessed Virgin, and Saint Joseph was, you know, he's the quiet saint, he's the hidden saint, and he kind of was in that perspective for me, kind of off to the side. I appreciated him, and I appreciated what he did for Mary and Jesus when they were alive, but I didn't have that connection with him. And I got interested in Saint Andre mostly because I felt pursued by him, oddly. I had this hesitation going on in my life, and then things were evolving spiritually for me. And, you know, we were in situations now where people were actually asking me, oh, isn't there a saint with that last name? And I would always kind of feel a little blushed and like, oh, I don't know if I should say this because I don't want to. You know, so there was all continued hesitation. And then I was at the cenacle. Actually, this deeper relationship has been growing since I moved to St. Mary's County. And then subsequently, since I went to the cenacle for the training, when I was in St. Mary's County and I started to pray with this rosary group, they heard my last name. And one of them said, oh, are you related to St. Andre? And I said, yes. By marriage. And she said, my father had a great devotion to him. And before he was canonized a saint, when he was a blessed. And I was like, wow, that's strange because he was not a very well-known saint. And here we are in, you know, little St. Mary's County in Southern Maryland that sometimes feels like it's not even on the planet Earth, right? It's just so remote itself. And here's this woman who knows of this saint. So she got very excited. And again, I felt a little embarrassed and a little kind of retracting. And one day she came in and she had all these statues. Her father had passed away and she was giving away various statues. And here she hands me this statue, this little statue of Saint Andre Bessette, but it said Blessed Andre Bessette on the bottom. Mm. And that was the beginning of a sense that I had inside that Saint Andre was kind of winking, you know, just a little God wink there through him that I'm in your life and you can take me into your life. And so I took the statue into our home and, you know, put it in the kitchen. And my kids were like, what's up with the action figures, Mom?
Yes. Yeah. The statues of saints, they're action figures. That's
cool.
It's actually pretty cool. You know, they are action figures.
They really
right?
are.
Literally. Then yes. So that's a
yes.
Wow, that you had no idea you were going to say something profound there, did you?
No, well, you know, that's the Holy Spirit there, right? So, yeah, no, they are action figures and they do act in our lives and they do assist the Lord in helping us to come to Him. So after a series of these types of events and at the cenacle, I had a woman come up to me who was a first year, I was a second year, and she said, I see your name is this, and are you of relation to St. Andre? And I said, well, through marriage. And she just got giddy and excited. And I'm like, why is she getting excited? Like, I'm not holy, but he's holy. But why? And like, why are you looking at me? I mean, I'm not even fully related to him. And it had nothing to do with me. She was so in love with him and his devotion and his pointing to Joseph. And then, of course, Joseph points to Jesus and Mary. She was just so thrilled and so excited. And she had been living up by the oratory and spending time in front of his
remains. Or
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's buried there.
Yeah,
in the oratory. His remains are contained there in the oratory.
And she had spent countless hours for months at a time there at the oratory and doing ministry. And so I was like, okay, there's another little, you know, kind of push to kind of get to know him a little better. So I got interested in him and I started studying a little more about him and I started to research him more. And then I started asking for his intercession. And then that little voice was there.
So. I'm just going to stop you only because some people don't know what that means to ask for intercession. Can you just talk a little bit about when we talk about having a relationship with a saint or we talk about praying that even Catholics, I think, misunderstand that when we are praying with a saint that we're asking for intercession. What does that mean?
Okay. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's very much so developing a relationship with a person who lived on earth, who is very much alive, but in heaven with the Lord, and has this unique closeness and to the Lord, and is in his very presence in a very real way. And they still have a capacity to hear us. And so we can go straight to the Lord for anything, but we also have this vast and countless number of those who have gone before us, who are very close and in the presence of God Himself right now, that are listening and wanting and desiring for us to also join them. And so they can pray for us, and they can help us to grow in holiness and in virtue, and they can just like I would ask Javier, will you please pray for me in this circumstance or pray for my family members in this circumstance or let's pray for the world together. You know, things are tough right now or the church is struggling. Let's pray for the church. I would turn to friends. Well, we can also turn to the saints in heaven who are so close to God with no barrier to intercede for us, to pray for us and to pray for our world. So that's intercession from my perspective.
Yeah, as you were talking, this is probably going to be totally taken out of context. Hopefully no one's quoting us. But you know, the whole expression friends with benefits, which means something else. I keep thinking of the phrase friends without the barriers or restrictions of the space-time continuum, right? These are
push your glasses up when you mention the space-time continuum, please.
But you know, it's like having friends in high places. Really, it's what it is, and not just that relationship like the Kevin Bacon degrees of separation kind of a thing, where it's like I know someone who knows someone, but like because they're not limited by time or space, we can have a one-on-one relationship with a saint, and that was something that was completely nowhere on my radar growing up as a Catholic. I mean, I went to church. We had the litany of the saints. We would the St. Michael prayer. I was never told or taught that I could actually have a personal relationship with a saint because it was just out of the realm of my thinking. And it's because it's not a very human way of thinking, right? I mean, we think of someone who's like another phrase, like, you know, my aunt passed away and now she's watching from heaven. It seems like a very, like a one way kind of a, you know, situation where they're up there, we're down here, and it's, that's all it is. But that's not what it is. And right. I think your story, and it really, the fact that you felt he was pursuing you, and that's really cool. I like that a lot.
So can we get away with calling this episode Friends with Benefits?
No.
No. Okay. No. Eye roll. Javier, cue the eye roll. Cue the plus. Eye roll counter.
Eye roll plus. If there's right. an extreme eye roll.
Okay. We'll think
eye
of another
win
name.
Eye rolls from both oh, sides
no,
of the
no,
table.
No. We will not have a separate. No, no, no. We are not going to have a separate eye roll counter for the guests.
The
no.
Category.
I know. It'll get too many.
This is beautiful.
It's bad enough keeping track of Holly's, but now if we have the separate guest eye roll counter,
it'll break the counter.
Whoa! All we gotta do is just rename the counter to be the eye roll counter. I think we should seriously ponder this idea.
Okay, great.
Okay,
yeah,
because I have my website is very powerful. I can put a lot of stuff on there, so
yeah,
I can put a high number for the eye roll.
Well, we thank everybody for tuning in for this as we end this episode.
And this is how we know Adam is a little sensitive sometimes. Oh.
Sensitive Adam, second title we should consider.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's, when you were talking about the quiet. Hidden saint. The thought did cross my mind. Like, I have no idea what that's like to be the quiet hidden one. I mean, I really did. That really did cross my mind. So
oh,
anyway,
Lord,
I digress.
Have mercy on all of us.
So I'm sure people are listening thinking, well, Adams could certainly learn something from Saint Joseph there to be quiet and hidden.
Well, honestly, that's one of the things that I feel that I've learned from St. Andre is how to be a little more quiet and a little more hidden. Because, you know, participating in ministry for years in the church, I definitely kind of felt like, oh, well, you've got to go in there and almost be politician, big smile on your face, know everybody's name and, you know, pull them into these ministries. And there was a lot of me in the work that I was doing. And I think St. Andre has kind of taught me that there, you know, the balance of that, you know, and yes, the Lord wants you to use your charisms, right? But at the same time, it very much so needs to be very, very much all about Him. And sometimes He can work beautifully when you diminish, you know, St. John says, you know, I must decrease as He increases. So in a lot of ways, I mean, look at the numbers of people that went to his funeral. You know, millions of people went.
1 million. So 1 million people, you're right. And that also crossed my mind when you're talking about the fact that he's not really well known, which is fascinating, which is true. I didn't know St. Andre Bessette, but only this year, because of the year of St. Joseph, then did I come to St. Andre and learn about his devotion to St. Joseph. But yeah, when he died at 91, 1937, he was 91 years old, 1 million people came and paid tribute. So he was clearly very well known there in Montreal and had a great impact. But here we are now all these years later, maybe not as well known. Hopefully a lot of people are coming back to discover him. And you're right. It helped being canonized officially in 2010. I think you said 2011, but somewhere right around there, that we're kind of rediscovering this great saint who had this great devotion to Saint Joseph and who worked a lot of miracles. I mean, he gave all the credit to Saint Joseph, obviously, and then of course to the Lord. But there were many, many miracles. People came and received many healings, and he had it was something like, if I've got the number right, he had 4 people working for him full time because he was getting 80,000 letters a year. As people were writing to him and asking for his intercession. And while he was alive, here we are talking about asking for the intercession of the saints in heaven. But even then, you know, he had this ministry, people were writing to him. And of course, he was just turning around and asking St. Joseph to pray. And all these prayers were being answered and all these miracles and healings. But he was certainly well known then and had, yeah, million people came.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures here from two separate events. One was the actual canonization, and it's incredible there. And then for his actual funeral. So I'll put links to these in the show notes.
And it's worth mentioning, I think his feast day is January 6th. I think he died January 6th. So it's coming up. So here we are in December, and you know, we'll get this podcast out in just a number of days. People get to listen to this, hopefully, and get also be able to get excited about his feast day quickly approaching here in January.
I'm going back to the numbers, 80,000 letters a year. That means each person who was working for him was responding to or opening 55 letters a day, every single day.
Well, that's only, you know, three an hour or something, right? So
yeah, 24 hours in the day.
Well, wait a minute. Nobody said there'd be math going on in this episode.
Just to think about the volume, the sheer volume of people who knew in his, while he was still living, at a time that there wasn't social media, that there wasn't, you know, regular telephone communication. You know, it wasn't like widespread. Everybody was using telephone. So how the Lord was at work through him in his lifetime, and then also what we know about the saints and their abilities after their life, and that we do know that there are countless instances of healings that are attributed to the intercession of saints after their deaths. So you were saying that you began kind of asking for his intercession, and you shared a little bit about that he was showing you the more hidden way, a more quiet way.
But, well, is there more? But, is there more to that story?
Oh, well, I think I don't know if you were coming back to where I had kind of stopped talking earlier. So I was interested, and I was starting to look to him and to, you know, communicate in my heart to him. And I said this over lunch earlier. I started to hear, you know, go to Joseph. And I was kind of like, but I'm coming to you. Like, I'm interested to get to know you. I'm terrible. I'm, you know, thinking this way. But this is what was going on in my heart. So I'm being 100% honest. I was like, but I'm wanting to know you. And I just kept hearing, go to Joseph, go to Joseph, go to Joseph, go to Joseph. And I was running into that. So I... then this year of St. Joseph comes around, and we do the consecration study by Father Calloway. And am I correct in that? Mm-hmm. And yeah. My mind was just blown. I suddenly, just my whole world, a whole segment of my of this, our faith just exploded and opened up of this powerful hidden saint in St. Joseph and his beauty. And I consecrated my children to him, and I, you know, asked for him to, you know, be part of our family and to guide us as a family to marry into Jesus more deeply. So I understand it. I understood the wisdom of his, you know, even in his death and now being with the Lord, he decreases as he wants the Lord to increase. He just wants us to go to the Lord. And that's really bottom line what it's all about, right? Is he brings us to the Lord. And I was thinking about also all of those letters that you were talking about and all the people that had received healings from him. A human can't do that. That was Christ in him. And people came to him because they were experiencing Christ in him. It wasn't about Andre or Alfred. It was about Jesus, and he was a presence of Christ for people, and so authentically and so profoundly that he, you know, in this very hidden role of being a porter, you know, the door opener for people. He just had, you know, it was like Jesus being in the boat ministering, and then the fish, you know, the fish coming, you know, telling his guys are going out there trying to catch the fish, and they can't catch anything. And then Jesus steps in there, and I'm thinking of the one where he was preaching to the people on the land, right? I might get my story a little bit incorrect, but you know what I'm saying. The fish came to Jesus. So the fish didn't come to Andre, they came to Jesus.
Right.
And Joseph is doing the same thing. He's powerful. He's very powerful, and he also is presenting us to Christ and to Mary.
But I think going back to what you were saying about here is this hidden role, right? This religious who opened the door, and he looks to the words of St. John that I must decrease and that Christ would increase in me, and that this is just what St. Joseph did in his lifetime, right? There's no words recorded of St. Joseph's, although we know he spoke because he was the one who named Jesus, Jesus, right? At the words of the angel. But that when we allow ourselves to grow in that kind of humility, what the Lord does and what the strength and goodness of the Lord that can shine through our lives when we come to that place of really being confident in who we are in his care.
He was certainly a fit servant of the Lord. And I think looking to him and looking to other saints, it's that invitation to that he can use the little ones. You know, here St. Andre was sickly, you know, his whole life. He couldn't work. Every time he went to go get a job, you know, working with shoes or as a baker, he had to leave because he couldn't physically do that kind of work all day long. Physically weak, orphaned, you know, at a young age. First his father at 6, and then his mother, I believe, when he was 12. And you know, losing parents like that, sometimes not really having a sense of self. But yet, this Holy Spirit was moving in his life. And so I think just looking to someone who, has that kind of humility and, has that kind of grace pouring out that they're actually really responding to is such a good example for me and for all of us on, what that looks like and how can I, allow God to do that in me? How can I allow him to mold me that way? So there's less of me and more of him. So,
you know, this is kind of highlighting another aspect of this idea of friendship with the saints, you know, being mm-hmm. relative to how we have friendships in our life. And that is, you know, we have friends that we admire on earth for their qualities. And there's no reason why we can't look to the saints for those similar qualities. You know, I keep thinking about like our friendship, you know, like just with Holly and with me. Every day, I as I'm reading something, I encounter something that I read in my spiritual reading that I can find a relative experience to with you guys. Something that I've seen in your lives, whether it be in our direct relationships or what I've seen with you and your girls or in your ministry work or in your different things. So being able to say, yeah, you know, Andre and I we're BFFs, you know, I like that he did this and I learned this from him, is different than saying something like, oh, I read this, you know, study of Saint whoever and read that he did these things and therefore I've learned this lesson from him. It's different. You know, and you didn't know Andre in the physical sense, but having, you know, prayed and then having interacted with him, I'll say, you've learned those things from him that you would have learned from him, maybe if you even knew him in real life, if that makes any sense. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
Because I think what you're saying is it's when you have a relationship with a saint, it's different than like reading a story and learning a lesson from the story. Right. I mean, if that's kind of what that there is an experience that happens in prayer that helps to develop a relationship, which is why I think we talk about the importance of a personal prayer life when you're seeking holiness. You can't grow in relationship with the Lord without spending time with him. And it is we have to kind of break down the whatever the structures or ideas that we have of what prayer looks like, because it really is about entering into a relationship in the same way that the four of us are sitting around a table, right? It takes a bit more in terms of faith and trust in the other when we're talking about prayer, because you have to, when you're sitting in a room by yourself or you're sitting in a pew in a chapel or wherever you're sitting to have your time of prayer, you're making a step in faith that the other is there too. You physically know that you are, but your kind of, there is this mystery in terms of what that relationship is, that we enter in with the Lord, trusting that he shows up when we call his name. Mm-hmm. And that in this mystery with those who have gone before us and that are with the Lord, that he shares his divine life with them, and that there is no barrier in time or space, and that they too have this ability to intercede and to be present to those of us who are still trying to fight the good fight and still trying to come closer to the Lord and ultimately closer to eternity with him.
Mm-hmm. Organs.
I'm, the joke in my mind is like, well, that should all be edited. No, I'm kidding. It was beautiful. No, it was real good. It was so nice. But, okay, but I couldn't.
Adam.
No, it was beautiful. This it really was.
So, you know.
It was good. It really was good. And which is why we had silence there, because it was like we want to digest what you just said, because it was good. So.
Well, but I think, though, too, it speaks to what you're talking about, Michelle, about you felt this sense that St. Andre was pursuing a relationship with you, that you were kind of attracted to him because you have the same last name, and there is some, we talked about this last time about genealogy. Mm-hmm. and having these connections through the generations. And I think that it comes back to that, right? We want to be connected to our history and our family's history. We're made that way. And that your initial attraction to him, you kind of were, you pushed away from because you wanted to acknowledge that this was your family's thing, your husband, you know, Bill's thing, and your girl's thing, right? That this was their heritage, not your own. But this is the beautiful thing about friendship with the Lord, is that we are all part of his family, and that we have this opportunity, and you in a special way with St. Andre, yes, because you are part of his actual physical family, that there is this special connection, but that you were open to be pursued by him, even though it took a little time.
I enjoyed learning about him. I will give a plug to what we watched on, it was formed.org. It was just called St. Andre.
I don't remember what it was called, but there's a wonderful movie about his life, a little documentary.
Documentary, yeah.
I'll get the name.
Form.org, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get the name and put it in the show notes.
It wasn't long, like an hour long. Just yeah. A nice documentary that helped, it really helped us just learn about him and who he was. And there's, you know, video that exists of, so you get to see, you know, what he looked like and his stature. And so it was very nice. So with that, we give a plug, unofficial plug to formed.org.
We have the full transparency. We did not receive kickbacks or referrals from form.org.
But we're happy to.
Yes, we are happy
We would be perfectly happy to have a partnership with form.org if anybody's listening.
Well, but I also think, not that this is going to become a commercial for Formed, but I like it because that you can find good content. And especially in this year of St. Joseph, they had a number of things about him. But coming back to Michelle, what you were saying about friendships with the saints, and that when we ask for their intercession, it is coming with that, with those eyes and heart of faith, that and trusting that the Lord is who he says he is, and that even while he lived, he said to his disciples, "You will do greater things than what I have done," and it is because when they allowed him to work, when they allowed the Holy Spirit to work through them, they were able to do that.
I really like what you were saying earlier, and you were Speaking of growing in intimacy with the Lord, and as that relationship deepens, that we have the opportunity because of our decreasing and Him increasing to participate in His plan. And that's unique to each individual, what He has written in His book from the beginning of time, that we will be able to do if we cooperate with Him and with the graces that He's pouring out. And I was thinking when Adam was speaking about, the history of St. Andre's life, when he began to really engage in this healing ministry. Obviously, it's the Lord doing the healing, and Andre always was giving credit because he always prayed to St. Joseph. You know, this is St. Joseph. You are healed because he's interceding for you. I'm asking for his prayers. And the numbers were increasing and more people were coming. And at the school where he worked, there was some pushback from faculty and some of the medical, doctors and students and parents even about what was going on with this porter. And he was receiving some persecution for that. And at some point he had to go to the bishop, and the bishop said, you know, if I were to ask you to not do this anymore, would you obey? And he said, I would blindly obey. And the bishop then responded, you will keep doing what you're doing, and told his superiors, this is what he'll keep doing. If this is of the Lord, it will die. And if it is of, I mean, if this is of, not of the Lord, it will die. And if this is of the Lord, it will continue to grow. And so he was allowed to continue to participate. And the God took care of that. And he would be willing to just, you know, I think of Padre Pio with this healing gift. You know, he got put away for 10 years, you know, because there was some jealousy and some concern over his healing gifts.
I definitely thought of that as you were talking. About obedience. Yes. So it's 19, I think it's 1931, Pius X sends the word down and basically takes all the faculties away of Padre Pio and says, you know, you'll only say Mass now privately. And Padre Pio said, yes. He said, yes, I understand. And he said, the will of my superiors is the will of God. And I'm paraphrasing, but he actually said something to the effect of, yes, I will obey. And then something to the effect of, you know, the authority of the church is the will of God. And was obedient. And then Pius X later reinstated all of his faculties and allowed him then to have public ministry again and resume his healing. And he said something, again, I'm going to paraphrase, something to the effect of, I didn't think badly of Padre Pio. I was just ill-informed. So, you know, he recanted and realized that, you know, he probably shouldn't have done this, but at the time he was getting bad information. And then it came to realize that this, you know, that Padre Pio was the real deal. But the beauty there in obedience was that Padre Pio accepted and was obedient. And it's a beautiful here example of St. Andre too, who said if he was told to stop in obedience, he would stop.
Right? And what a gift and what trust they both had. It wasn't about them and the gifts that they had, but that they would be willing to just stop everything in obedience to their superiors, trusting that if this is what God wanted, He's going to make it happen. God is all powerful. So they just let it go. And, you know, Padre Pio for 10 years. And thank God for Andre that he was able to just go right back into what he was doing. But I'm sure, you know, what does that do to your mind, you know, when you're processing this? And I think too, there's something about, sorry for the articulation here, but there's something about being concerned or not concerned about what others think. And I think that that's important sometimes too, in your gifts, to be confident in what the Lord is doing. If you're praying and you're working on these virtues, you know, humility and charity and trusting the Lord and the gifts that He has for you, that you know, there's sometimes hesitation because we know in parish communities, when gifts are seen, sometimes it strikes up envy and jealousy and other things. You know, I mean, we're human beings and a human you know, community, where we're in a fallen state and we don't always see things. But, you know, that didn't stop St. Andre from continuing to do what the Lord had asked him to do, even though there there were people that were against him. And he was persecuted for that. So,
you know, all those qualities are things that you can only develop through prayer, but most importantly, a mindset and an attitude that this is not about me. And I'm not going to get political here, but there's so much happening in the church right now between different priests and bishops who are so focused on their own ministries that and their own message that they're not listening to their superiors. They're not obeying the hierarchy of the church, primarily because they think they're right and everyone else is wrong. So the idea of obedience that modeled from St. Joseph, from Andre Bessette, from, you know, even from you when you were storing, you were saying how Andre kept saying, go to Joseph. And you're like, but I don't really want to. I want to get to know you. But you know, you were sort of obedient in that sense, and then you bore the fruit from that.
It's a great story, though, that even now in heaven, that you know, in life, he was pointing mm-hmm. everything to St. Joseph. And how beautiful is that? That in heaven, as you're trying to get to know him, he's pointing you to St. Joseph. Like he's still doing that work of pointing people. And I'm sure he must be absolutely thrilled here at this year of St. Joseph that everybody's discovering St. Joseph. Yes, we made the consecration, that beautiful consecration book by Father Calloway, that it is beautiful and has introduced so many people, us included, to the virtues of St. Joseph. It's a good thing. The Lord's at work, and we're rediscovering the beauty of this good man, Saint Joseph.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think that's a great place to stop. I think. I mean, unless you guys say anything else you thought, but that was just a great way to wrap it all up. So nice job.
You're welcome.
So thank you all for joining us for this special episode of Redeemer. You can find any links that we've mentioned in the show right in the show notes in your podcast player or at numinous.fm. We've also posted links at our special page for St. Joseph resources at numinous.fm/St. Joseph. And like I said, this is sort of the first part of our wrap-up for the year of St. Joseph. So we'll have, at the end of that episode, that page will have all the links for all the episodes. So you can always just go to one page and get all the links there. So we'll have, from today's episode, we'll have links to pictures from the funeral mass, from the canonization, right? We'll have links to the form.org video. We'll have links to a couple websites that have St. Andre's story, because I didn't really know his story until I started doing some reading for this podcast. So I'm sure, like you said, hidden, you know.
But you've just discovered a new saint that you can be friends with.
That's right. Yeah. And if you have any comments or if you would like to share your stories about how St. Joseph has touched you either this year, during a special year, or whenever, you can send those to redeemer@numinous.fm. So you can visit the Marian Servants of the Redeemer Facebook page at facebook.com/Marian Servants Redeemer. You can provide feedback that way. By the way, you guys really ought to get a Twitter, by the way, because there's a lot of stuff happening on Twitter in the Catholic community that you can get plugged into. So we'll work on that.
Yeah, Holly's on Twitter.
You are.
Oh my gosh.
Holly's on Twitter.
I am really not.
Well, but she.
I mean, I have a Twitter.
What I'll do is I'll just make one for the podcast time called Redeemer Podcast, and then use that to like make some connections with shows.
Great.
You know? Okay.
Yes.
Yes. So that's pretty much it for today's episode. Is there anything that you want to plug while you have the
final words of wisdom?
Final words of wisdom or any resources?
I just wanted to make sure that we have the consecration. I don't know if I heard you say that, but the actual link to that consecration to St. Joseph, I think, is excellent.
You mean the book, right?
Yes.
Yes. I would definitely put that in there as well.
I think it was.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for saying yes.
Michelle, thank you so much for being here and for having this conversation with us and driving all this way just to sit here and chat.
So we end by saying, St. Andre Bessette,
pray for us.